Sheila for playing the piano. Appreciate that. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, let's turn them to the book of Ephesians. If you don't have a Bible, you can use the one right in front of you. It's the smaller of the two books. It's the small black book that you'll see there. Been quite a few years ago now that the church took up offerings and people would give toward those Bibles there, and we put their names in most of them, I think, whoever donated for them. And so what a blessing they have been to us over the years. Have you ever lost your sense of direction as a Christian? You know what I mean. It's kind of like when you're driving a car and you say, well, wait, where am I? But in your own personal life as a Christian, have you ever lost that sense of direction? Forget maybe what you're doing and why you're doing it. Asking yourself, is it really worth it, this Christian living as a Christian, or is it working at all? What is it that God wants me to be doing? I mean, I'm just getting tired of, you know, I go and it seems like, you know, I attend the church services and you know, after a while it gets to be old and it gets just to be a routine thing that we do, but is it really worth it? I just feel like I have no direction in my life. And sometimes Christians can find themselves losing their direction. It's possible to happen. I've seen it happen. And sometimes I've asked myself in years gone by, well, Lord, what's the reason for this? Or I start thinking, you know, what's it all about? Is this really working, what the Bible tells me to do? And I've had to deal with that in my own life. There's something that we, on Wednesday nights especially, when we have our prayer time and our prayer bulletin, it's a mention in there. I say for our church to pray for those who might have apathy. Apathy is something that sets in, and you begin to start to be apathy toward God is when you become indifferent to the things of God, and you just kind of lose your way in it all, as the Lord would have you to go in a certain direction, and you kind of forget what that really is. I want to encourage you this morning not to give up as a believer. As long as you've been in the fight, as long as you've been a Christian, you've been coming to church for just a few years or many, many years, don't give up on the Lord, but continue to serve Him. Continue to look forward to what the Lord has to do. I've got a title this morning for my message here. It's called Created in Christ Jesus. And because we're created in Him, it ought to steer us back on course here. Help us to make corrections in our lives so that we do not lose our direction, but rather refocus on what our direction is as believers so that we might please the Lord and so that our lives might be more joyful. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 1, the Apostle Paul, writing the church at Ephesus, he says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Let's ask God's blessing upon his word this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity and this moment here where we come to the preaching and the teaching of your word. And I ask that you would open all of our hearts and ears to your word this morning. Help us, Lord, to look in the mirror and see ourselves according to your word, that we might make adjustments in our lives and that we might worship you and the truth of your word and how it has a wonderful impact on each and every one of us. Help us, Lord, for I pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. What a great passage of scripture here. We discover what salvation is, how we can be quickened. It's all right here. To be quickened means to be brought alive. And the apostle talks about that here in this relatively a short chapter, but we're only looking at a portion of it right now. But we know people that are somewhat over the top about themselves and who they are. But the scripture here shows us that it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives and what he does. Some think that they're busy creating their own Christian walk, and if you read your Bible this many times, and if you do this according to scripture, and if you do that, and something else, that you have done something with your life to make you somehow a better Christian. When all along, God is creating us in Christ Jesus. And it's a daily work that God is doing. It's just a marvelous thing when we recognize our lives are in the hands of God. And so we also recognize, as we've read this short 10 verses here, no one is good enough to stand before God in defense of themselves that they're that good. Okay, that they don't need Jesus Christ. It's a silly thing. There's some who think, you know, they're saved by good works, which we know is not what the scripture teaches us. Everything we do is to be for God's glory, is what Paul is telling this church at Ephesus here. In Isaiah 43:7, it says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him." In Colossians 3:23, the Bible says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men." And so you and I, we look at this passage of scripture here, we're God's workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus. God is doing a work in us here, not for our glory, not for somebody else's glory, but for God's glory. He's going to get the glory in our lives. And I want to share in that by just submitting myself to him and letting him work in and through me to his desire and to his wishes. Now, here in verse 1 in chapter 2, we are quickened, we see, are made alive from dead works. And then in verse 2, the prince of the power of the air worketh wickedness in us before we come to know the Lord. That's what he does. He works wickedness. God has other plans for us. In verse 3, we see, we were by our sinful nature the children of wrath, just like others who are separated from Jesus Christ. We were involved in those types of things that did not please God at all. In verse 4, we see that God loved us. And in verse 5, God's grace, he quickened us together in Christ, made us alive in Christ. How did he do that? Well, we thought we were alive. We were going about our daily business. But the problem with that is, as you go about your daily business without Christ, not knowing Christ as your Savior, you have to reconcile yourself with God, who sees you as a sinner. And so the wages of sin is death. And the Bible says that when we are without Christ, well, then we're dead in sin and trespasses. And so we have to be quickened, made alive, forgiven of our sins, and all that happens through Jesus Christ. And then in verse 6, we see he raised us up to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 7, God's exceeding riches of grace will always be shown to us. And I really like verse 8 and 9. It's a very, you know, common passage of scripture that Christians often will memorize here. But God's grace gave us Jesus Christ by our faith in the Lord. And so it's a wonderful thing. We thank the Lord for his grace. We thank the Lord for His death, burial, and resurrection in the gospel that can change our lives and give us eternal life. And so even those who believe on his name can receive this life that Scripture tells us about. I just say to myself, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for what you have provided for us. We see it all right here in this first century New Testament church. And folks, we ought to see this right here today as well. I really like the verse 10 here, and I want to focus on this. Look at it with me. For we, meaning Christians, are his, or meaning God, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And I like the very first word there, we, and I like it that it focuses on God as well. First, it's you and I. What is God doing with us? Well, he says that we are his workmanship. It doesn't leave any doubt about that at all. And so I thank God that I belong to him. Are you thankful to be a Christian? I mean, God Almighty, you know, he's working in our lives. I'm just so thankful for it. I remember myself. I didn't get saved until I was a young man in my 20s. But I remember my life before that. I had no law. I just did whatever I wanted to do. Well, I was trying to be a citizen. I knew there were certain laws I had to obey or I'd get thrown in jail. But I mean, I didn't have any guidance as far as what the Bible had to say about things until I was in my 20s. And I got saved. I was 22 years old back in 1978. Wow, does time fly. And the Lord saved my soul, and I'm thankful for that. The psalmist said this in 100, in verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God, and he that hath made us, and not we ourselves, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Scripture has these nice verses tucked in it here and there, all around that tell us that we're God's work. We're not our own work. If it was left up to me, I'd be a mess. How about you? If God's hand wasn't upon my heart and molding me and shaping me, well, I'd be in trouble. And I know you would be too. When we're left, you know, every man does what's right in their own eyes, it spells trouble. But when we follow after the Lord and submit ourselves to him and his creative hand, he can do so much with each and every one of us. Look at this verse 10. There's also a word there, workmanship. Now, this is the only place in the New Testament that this word is found, workmanship. It means a product. We're God's product. I don't think I like that. I think that's made for some materials, you know. A product is, you know, some food products, some clothing products, and those kinds of things. But a workmanship does mean a product. It also can mean a fabric that is something that you would use to make something with. But I like this part of it, the literal part, a thing that is made. You and I are a thing that is made by God. He's creating us in Christ Jesus. He's doing a work in us, each and every one of us that call upon his name. Now, we all know that God created Adam, right? Yes, Pastor, everybody knows that God created Adam. Who doesn't know that? Well, there's some who would deny that. Let's just put it that way. But we all know that God created Adam and Eve. And from them, you know, our population grew up until the flood. And then Noah had to start over with his family after the flood. But God created. But this isn't what this isn't what Paul's talking about here. Paul is talking about God is creating in you and I, in our inner person, with his own hands, a new person in Jesus Christ. Oh, it's a wonderful truth of Scripture. And it teaches us here that how much God loves us. He not only saves us, he not only gives us eternal life and promises a place to live with him forever, but he is creating in us an image. And we know how he feels about his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He's exalted him. He's on the right hand of God. God is creating us in his image. We think of Adam, when he was created, God said, well, let's create man in our image, and he created Adam. Well, Adam was the man of the flesh, but Jesus Christ is the person of the Spirit. And God says, I'm going to make you, you believers, as Paul is telling us here in verse 10, created in Christ Jesus. And so what a big change when we look at it that way. In Romans 9:21, the Bible says in the first part of that verse, hath not the potter power over the clay? I think of that verse whenever I think of God working on us. We're just a clump of clay, figuratively. And God is molding it and he is shaping it. If we resist that, it's like dry clay. If we cooperate with God, well, then we're like a moist clay that he can work with, and he can rub out the little bumps in the clay and do all the kinds of things that God does so wonderfully as he creates in us what he desires. We submit to him, and we're a good piece of clay. If we don't, we're a dry piece, and things don't work out that well. Turn over to chapter 4 in the same book that we're at, that we're in right now. Chapter 4 and verse 24. It says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, keep going to the right over to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Comes right after Philippians. Colossians 3. And verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And so this new man is that man, that person inside of us. The new man, we'll say for men here, and the new woman for the women that are here. But the new person that God has made us because of the presence of his Holy Spirit in us that he has sealed with. Remember last week we were talking about how God has sealed us with his Holy Spirit, and the week before I think as well. And so the presence of the Holy Spirit in us has made us new creatures. We're new creatures because of that. But that's not the end of it. God continues to mold us and shape us and create us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, turn back with me to Romans chapter 8 for just a moment. I like looking at a couple of cross-references as we move along here. Romans chapter 8. This is a good verse. You can circle it, or however you, if you got a marking system in your Bible. Some people use different colors for different, you know, thoughts in the Bible. Like if it's eschatology or prophecy, they'll use one certain color. If it's got to deal with, you know, the Gentiles, they'll use a different color, whatever it might be. But if you're like me, I just got a bunch of rainbow colors in mine, and just kind of, I go in mind message by message, and sometimes when something is in my mind, I highlight it there and I look at it, and just to make it stand out. And now I've lost my place. No, not really. Chapter 8 and verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. I like that. Conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, why in heaven does God do that? For what possible reason is he shaping us into the image of his Son, creating us in Christ Jesus, as Paul told the Ephesians here in verse 10. Well, come back here to chapter 2 and verse 10. The Bible tells us why God does this. It says, for we are his workmanship, created. Now, by the way, I didn't mention this, but created is a verb. I know you guys, most of you probably knew that. What do I mean by that? I mean, it's an action word. It's a present tense word here. The idea is that God is creating. It's not a done thing. It's an ongoing thing. And there's action there. And he's creating us in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so there's the purpose. Why is God creating us in his image? For good works, so that you and I can do good works. Just think of all the great, wonderful things that our Lord did in the first century as he walked this earth. Just in the 3 years of his ministry time, all those that he touched in some way and done good works for people, who, as he healed them and he taught them and he blessed them, and he'd done so many different things. Always had his eye out for the poor and for others that were helpful and needful and helping them in many different ways. God is creating us into the image of Christ to be like him so that you and I can do good works. He ordained this a long time ago, way before Adam and Eve. God had this already planned out. And as I asked later, have you lost your sense of direction in your way as a Christian? Say, you know, what am I supposed to be doing, Lord, today and tomorrow? And I've tried this, I've done this, and I've done that, but what am I doing now? Well, here is what our compass tells me. The compass says that we're to be about good works. And so Paul makes that very clear here to the church at Ephesus. And in fact, God wants us to walk in the direction of good works. Look at that verse 10. It says, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so we're supposed to walk in that direction of good works. We're not saved to sin or continue in the way of our own lives. We're saved to become new creatures and molded in the shape and image of Christ, to live forever with him, but to serve him and carry out what his Bible says and practice it in our life for a good outcome. I'm thankful that Sheila practices her piano, aren't you? And when she started, you know, several years ago playing the piano, she little by little practiced, and she learned a song. She learned two songs, and she learned how to put the notes and the rhythm together. And just slowly over time, she's developed. And the Lord has used that study in her life. That's a good visual. But you and I as a Christian are to apply these notes and rhythms and things that we hear in Scripture, using that as an analogy, if you will. But we're to use them in our lives so that as we mature in Christ, we'll have a whole bucket full of good works. Okay? We'll have a lot of things that we have done for our Savior. Maybe you're wondering what good works are. Of course, I've preached on this before at different times because it's all over in the New Testament that we're supposed to be doing this. But we know from the context of this particular text that we're not saved by good works, but good works please God once we are saved. Because it's not until we're saved that God can really begin to work in our hearts, creating us in Christ Jesus. First, you have to have Jesus in your heart for the Lord to begin to do that. And so we see that here. And it's his creative work in us, doing works, and all of it's related to this creation that God is doing in our hearts. I think about our church, and I love it when we're all working together and doing different things here at the church, getting involved in things, good works here, volunteering to serve in one of our many ministries. These are all, Pastor tries to ensure that all of our ministries are geared for people to work in those ministries and be doing a good work. Why would we have something else here? Jesus says to do good works. The church is a good place to start doing good works at. If you don't do them outside, if you start doing them here within the church, then you'll start doing them on the outside. In fact, you'll be walking in good works. That's the idea of this verse 10 here. And so, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It ought to be a way of life. You can kind of think of it like that. And so, our ministries are geared to reach people for our Lord, to teach them about Him, and help people to grow in the Lord and understand how and why they're saved and why they should follow Jesus. And folks, the church, there's no better place than the church for these things to begin, because the church is the pillar and ground of truth. That's what Scripture tells us. And so let's put this, these truths that the church stands for, in practice here in the church. And then we'll carry that on wherever we go. And serving here in the church is a place that, you know, I cannot remember myself in any church that I have been in where I haven't served in some capacity and tried to help out that church. Now, most of you, we have visitors with us today, and a few others might not have known this, but I was in the service for a long time, over 20 years. And while my wife and I were in the service, while I was in the Air Force, we moved around a lot. We joined different churches, and everywhere we went, I tried to get involved in that church. Yeah, sometimes I lost my direction and said, well, what am I doing here? Lord, what can I do? And I said, well, is it really important here? Is it a different place? And then I realized as a young Christian that this applies everywhere I went. In all these different churches I was in, I just wanted to serve in those churches in any way that I possibly could to help that local church be doing what God had called us to do. And so when we do that, we can take that practice, we can take that testimony of doing good works to other places just so others can see us, right? No. So that we can please God. We're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, and I believe we're to do good works to show ourselves approved unto God as well. I believe that's what Scripture teaches us. It's for His glory, not ours, but for His. And when you put it in that perspective, it really helps you to make that correction in your own life. You see, if we're just doing it for ourselves, it does get old, because we don't always feel like doing things that are good works, do we? I mean, if it was left up to me every day, well, I'd probably talk myself out of a lot of good works. But when I think about the opportunities that are out there and that come my way, and I try to match that, I say to myself, this is what God would have me to do. I might not feel like it. I might not think I have the resources for it, or the time, or the energy, or this, or that, and all the other seemingly obstacles that get in our way when we can really do a good work. I might not be able to do all those, but when I give it over to the Lord, He has a way of showing you how to navigate through all that and do a good work. It's a wonderful thing that you know, the Lord wants us to do this, and He's going to give us what we need to actually do it. If we serve the Lord in our own strength, those things, they can happen maybe for a short period of time. But we got to give it over to the Lord, allow Him who is creating in us, you know, more and more, creating us more and more into the image of Christ. We have to give Him ourselves so that His energy will be what propels us and not our own energy. If you work on your own energy, you're gonna run out, okay? There's no ever-ready battery for the human life, okay? We eventually run out on our own energy. But with God, He gives us the energy to do what He wants us to do. And He gives us that joy and that love and that want to, rather than, well, I don't really feel like it today. You won't get worn out that way, doing it God's way, relying on Him and His strength, because that's what He wants us to do. It gets tough, I think, doing the regular routine. I know that we all need breaks. We got to take a break from work. We got to take a break sometimes just from our community and the church, and we go on a vacation, we do things, and we need to rest up and so we can come back charged up and go back at it. During the less busy times, I try to drink from God's Word and meditate on things, and I need those times. And as a pastor, I've got a lot of things going on throughout the regular course of things as I'm filling a pulpit here and all the other things that pastors do, and I need a break from that sometimes. And that break, I don't use that just for myself, but I use it so I can get away and say, Lord, just use this time to refresh me, to quicken me, to get back in the fray, to get back into what you would have me to do, and show me new opportunities that I can do. And the Lord has a way of doing that. He guides us. Once my strength returns and I say, you know, Lord, you helped me do this, I know you're going to help me again, and he does. I have a few verses I want to share with you, and then I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, the last part of it says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. There's no excuses is what he's saying here. Thirdly, Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Timothy 6:18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. And then finally, Titus 3:8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your word as we've seen here in the book of Ephesians, and I just pray your blessing upon it to each and every soul that is here. Father, help us to be mindful when we are not sure what our direction is on a given day or what we're supposed to be doing in the long term. And Lord, maybe we've got goal setters here today, and they set goals out there for a year or two or 5 years, 10 years, whatever it might be. Lord, I pray that we include in our daily schedules and our life schedules good works. And Lord, show us the opportunities that we have to do a good work. Lord, we'll give you the praise and the thanks as you do. And I thank you. I thank you for your hand upon us, creating us in Christ Jesus. Lord, it just cannot get any better until you say so. And we're so thankful for that. We give you the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go.